Singing, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the privilege of gathering together in your name. And Lord, we are so thankful that you have provided us a building. Thank you, Lord, for the repairs done on the plumbing and everything working well. And Lord, we rejoice in that. And now, Lord, I pray tonight as we focus our attention on your word, I pray that you would teach us what we need to know about atonement. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles this evening. Let me take it off music here so it won't echo. I'm going to ask you to turn to Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 20, as well as 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. These are couple passages we're going to look at, but we'll probably see some more in the course of this message. We're continuing our Wednesday evening series entitled Important Bible Words. Some of the words we're studying have more than one meaning, depending on the context. Other words are consistent in their meaning no matter where you find it in the Bible. However, the problem comes with the fact that its Bible meaning differs from the way the unsaved world uses that word. And then there are Bible words that call for a deeper study of all that it means, such as the one that we're studying this evening. So with that in mind, our study this evening will delve into not only the meaning, but also the application of the verb atone and its noun form, atonement. This word is often confused with a word we studied on a previous Wednesday, which was the concept of redemption, or the verb form redeem. We learned that, biblically speaking, to redeem means to save, deliver, or set free from oppression, death, or sin by the payment of a price or ransom. We'll see how this differs from atonement. Let's begin first with the meaning of the noun atonement. By the way, we're focusing on the noun form because the verb form atone in the King James Version actually never appears in either the Old Testament nor the New Testament. And in the New American Standard Bible, it only appears three times in the Old Testament. So the Hebrew noun kippur, translated atonement in the Old Testament, at its most basic level means a covering. By the way, for those who might be listening to this and have a knowledge of biblical Hebrew, kippur is only one of several forms of the noun. It can show up as kupar, kaper, kiper, and several other ways. But since most of you have heard of kippur in the Jewish holiday called Yom Kippur, how many have heard of that? Yom Kippur. We'll just use that form of the noun for the sake of easy recognition of the Hebrew word. So as I said, the Hebrew word kippur literally means covering. In figurative terms, actually especially the biblical use of it, it refers to covering over an offense or sin. Covering over an offense or sin. So to atone then, in the figurative sense or Bible sense, means to do something to make up for or pay for an offense done against the injured party. You can see this meaning in the following sentence. He atoned for being late by bringing her a dozen roses. I can't afford that, honey. Okay. All right. With that in mind, let's see how the word atonement is used in Scripture now. The first use of the word atonement appears in Exodus 29. Exodus 29 and verse 33. And dearest, could you give me a couple of questions? Okay. Mine may be on the counter there with the map.
25? 29, right?
Okay, 29. Thank you, Mark. Marco, I mean. Yeah, distinguish between Marco and Mark. Okay. All right. Exodus 29, verse 33. Does everybody have that now?
Okay.
Exodus 29, verse 33. Thus they shall eat those things by which atonement was made at their ordination and consecration. But a layman shall not eat them because they are holy. So this is talking about the priest and those. Thank you so much, Paco. Now, since Exodus 29:33 doesn't really give us a clue as to the meaning of the word atonement, let's go to the first verse where an important clue is given. And we find this in Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 20. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, so third book of the Bible there. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 20. He shall also do with the bull just as he did with the bull of the sin offering. Thus he shall do with it. So the priest shall make atonement for them, and they will be forgiven. There's the clue. Make atonement, and they will be forgiven. So here we see that the purpose of atonement is in order to receive forgiveness for sins. As you can see from reading the entire chapter, this atonement was only accomplished through shedding the blood of an innocent animal in place of the guilty sinner. The biblical use of the word atonement always has the factor of reconciling an injured party to the one who committed the offense or sin. So reconciliation is an important aspect of the definition of atonement. In all cases in Scripture where atonement is mentioned, the one sinned against is who? God. God. And the one who committed the sin is sometimes the nation of Israel, most often an individual. Therefore, God has prescribed the way they can receive his forgiveness for sin. That way, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, is through the shedding of innocent blood in place of the guilty sinner. In that sense, in Christ's sacrifice on the cross, redemption is similar to atonement. However, the results are somewhat different. Redemption results in release from the bondage or debt of sins. Atonement results in forgiveness for sins and reconciliation and restoration to fellowship with God. Every one of these terms or concepts are important aspects of the wonderful salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ secured for the believer on the cross of Calvary. Interesting that we are in what is called by many Holy Week, in that on Friday, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. And of course, on Sunday, he rose again from the dead. And so this is a very important term here, atonement. In the New Testament, at least in the New American Standard Bible, the English word atonement is not found. Instead, the more specific word propitiation is used in its place, translating the Greek noun hilasterion, or hilasmos, meaning atoning sacrifice. So propitiation is a synonym of atoning sacrifice. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. I want you to see that in your own Bible. Romans chapter 3. Give you a little time to find it. Romans 3, verse 25.
I know.
And since we're reading from the New American Standard Bible, it's going to use the word propitiation. Romans 3:25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, atoning sacrifice, in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. Now, would you turn to Hebrews chapter 2? Hebrews chapter 2. We're making our way through the New Testament in chronological order. So, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Then 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, further toward the end of the New Testament, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And then, just a little bit further in chapter 4, verse 10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You can see from these four New Testament verses that propitiation entails the forgiveness for sins and appeasing the wrath of God for our offenses against him, just like the Old Testament atonement. There's one more word that is used in the New Testament to describe what happens as a result of Christ's atonement for us on the cross. The Greek noun katalange, meaning reconciliation or restoration to favor. Also, the verb form would be katalasso. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 and 11. Romans 5, verse 10 and 11. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So you have it both in the verb form and in the noun form here in both these verses. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through verse 20. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, Ephesians 2 and verse 16. And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And then Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Colossians 1, verse 20. And through him, speaking of Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. We read a lot of scripture here, but I wanted you to see the passages that use these important terms. And I hope you caught the importance of the fact that Christ's sacrifice on the cross propitiated the just wrath of God on our sins and reconciled us to God so that we are no longer his enemies. But on the contrary, we have become his beloved children by faith in Christ. This is amazing. We sang Amazing Grace. This is amazing, this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Atonement, propitiation, and reconciliation are wonderful words. Wonderful truths that should bring thankfulness, joy, and peace to the heart of every born-again Christian. As I said, this Friday is celebrated as Good Friday. even though it was horrible in that Christ was nailed to a cross and died a cruel death, yet it was good for us because he accomplished that atonement, that reconciliation, that propitiation. The day he died on the cross, he accomplished it so that we sinners could receive what we so desperately needed. I hope that you'll take this Friday to thank the Lord for his wonderful sacrifice on our behalf. In Nova Scotia, they set this aside much more than we do here in Quebec. In Nova Scotia, that's actually a paid holiday. All the stores close, shut down on Good Friday. And the churches all have special services and so forth because of that. Here, it's a blip on the calendar. Nothing changes. And so I hope that even though we're not having a special service and so forth, that you will take time, maybe as you wake up in the morning and realize this is Good Friday. Thank the Lord for his amazing grace, for his atonement, his propitiation, his reconciliation. We are no longer enemies with God. We're actually his children because of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. So I just want to leave that with you. And I hope that this is an encouragement to you.